Dave's trip in Mexico, you might have a little tequila residue in the head, Dave.
I would probably blame it on the tequila or the mezcal in Mexico. I don't know what that was all about, but yes, I arrived yesterday.
That computer just doesn't like you, man.
It's every time I log on, the first couple I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's... And around Halloween, I got freaked out. I was like, what was that?
Oh, there's ghosts in the system, for sure. Oh,
Frank, don't say that, please.
For sure. I mean, wasn't that a whole movie? Wasn't that that was the theme of a movie. There was ghosts in a system in a computer system. I think it exists here in WGN.
Oh, I do believe there's like some type of energy everywhere, but...
There is energy everywhere.
Please don't freak me out like that, Frank. Welcome. I forgot what you look like. Thanks to social media. Yeah.
I know what you look like. Welcome back to... We've been off for a little bit here. I mean, we were off for a couple of days for the holiday. We came back one day, right?
Yes.
We're cramming it all in, though. We're going to make up for the week before we missed and the week we're going to miss ahead, starting off with a great design conversation with folks at Decorade. You can go to Decorade. I believe it's Decorade.com. They're interior design industry advisors, and they're all about, you know, creating and sharing the latest trends in design and materials. And, you know, that's my world. They're advisory members to the ASID. And we're going to discuss the topic of why interior design is important and how it plays a key role in living a healthier, more satisfying life. And I'm excited about this because I'm actually writing my next book right now. The first ever announcement, Dave, of the world here. My new book is, I can't tell you the title, can't tell you the full scope of the content, but I have been writing like a madman.
I know, you were telling me that at 4 o'clock in the morning you wake up like a madman and
I
start
do.
Writing.
I'm inspired right now. It's been late nights, early mornings, because I got two young kids, so I got to squeeze it in between all that, in between doing, you know, a real renovation company and television and radio. I'm inspired, man. I'm excited. It's going to be a phenomenal book, a little different from what you might think. It does have aspects of design and renovation in it, but it's taking a completely different take on it. And I think it's going to change the world, Dave.
You know, I don't know how that's going to work out. The 4 a.m. Is that where you get more creative?
I am that kind of guy. I am a 4 a.m. If I get up at like 5, let's say 4 is unusual. Last couple nights have been 4. But as soon as I get up, my brain starts firing off, and I need to take advantage of that energy time because everybody's window for energy is different. So for me, it's usually from like 5 or so to 9, I get like my peak blast of energy. Then I'll kind of level off for the day, hang with the kids a little bit, do a little work. Then I'll get, you know, late afternoon, get another push, and then I'll again go down, cycle down, and then late at night, maybe before bed, I'll try to write for another hour or so.
I can imagine how this is going to be after your Downtown Shabby first episodes and everything that's been going on the show. And
some other new opportunities are coming along in those lines with the TV show and all that stuff. So we'll be finding out that in the next week to come. It'll be exciting. We'll talk about it when it all happens. On this show today, we have a great lineup. Maureen Baker from Decor Aid is joining us to talk about that topic of healthier living in the home and trying to, you know, create a more satisfying life through design. Speaking of Downtown Shabby, Mary Nisi was one of our homeowners on Downtown Shabby, and she's a phenomenally funny, amazing person, and she happens to own one of the hottest DJ companies called Toast and Jam. It's a Chicago-based company, and they create epic dance floors for weddings, parties, private parties, corporate events, you name it, and she's an expert in wedding season. Like, this is her thing, man. She's like the wedding DJ.
And this is the time to start planning any type of event, cotillions, weddings, anything, because you find the best prices if you take your time.
And we're in engagement season, by the way. I don't know if you know this.
Uh-oh, because it's cold. Everybody wants to cuddle, and they're like, oh, I want to be engaged.
Yeah, God bless them. Think about it, folks. Really think about it. It's a wonderful thing.
Anything you want to share, Frank?
No. Oh, okay. No, I'm just saying that from somebody with experience, think about it. Oh, boy. but it's good for Mary because that means it's business. You know, business is coming in, and there's a season for booking, too, and she's got a whole bunch of amazing topics and tips to talk about. And then after that, we're going to have the return of the one and only.
The only astrologer
to the
Frank Fontana show.
And Nordhaus Bike. Yes, she's back. Don't start calling right now, but I will tell you when, because Anne is an expert in the world of the science of astrology and how it affects your life, what's been happening in your life that's really changed or impacting the things you do in your home, out of your home, in your relationships. And she's really hyper-focused on relationships right now, because I believe coming out of 2016, it was pretty tumultuous for a lot of people. I don't know about you, Dave. Any of your relationships been tumultuous?
Or? No, not at all. Actually, it's been engaging work-wise. Great work relationships.
So you're married to work right now.
Oh, yes. Oh, big time. Oh, yeah. Right now, and this is going to be the year of relationships with work. And Anne has the big secret for the great relationship in 2017.
We're going to be doing free readings live over the air. And let me tell you, they're revolutionary. Sometimes people really walk away. Most of the time, let me say, people walk away with some really solid knowledge based on the stars. You know, if you think about it, the very first form of I want to call it therapy, but prediction of events occurred with astrology. You know, and then thereafter becomes patterns of what happens over, you know, decades of time. So there is a science behind astrology that people don't understand. It's not just this mythical thing that she's guessing, you know, that this is what's going to happen today. You know, it's nothing like that. So it's really cool. And you'll see after first couple of calls how it really hits home and some poignant, you know, advice based on your astrology. So that's going to be happening around 2 o'clock. The phone number for that is 312-981-7200. You can text in. And just a little kind of guideline on that, to keep it short and sweet, because we'd like to take as many calls as possible, we want to know your date of birth. If you know your sign, that's always a good thing. If not, we can help tell you what the sign is. And then what is the poignant thing happening in your life that you really like to dig into? And we can go as deep as you want. I mean, we've had callers in the past talk about, you know, things ranging from relationships to death in the family to job situations. Is there anything on the horizon for them that could be exciting and special? All those questions are valid to ask. And, you know, it's out there. The stars do have the answers, at least most of them. And if not, Anne has the rest of them. And Dave, your trip to Mexico, did you bring me back anything?
You know what? I did bring some mezcal, but the
Thank
only
God.
Issue...
God, I was going to ask you for tequila. You know I'm a fan of tequila.
You know, the thing is that over there, something that's very popular is the mezcal, but...
Now, the mezcal is like the smoky...
Yes, it is.
What, so it's like a... Is there the worm is in there too?
No, you can add it. Normally tequila has it. But it didn't have the seal for you to bring it into the States because it was homemade. It was one of those...
So let me guess, you had to drink it yourself.
I actually had to give it back to the person that brought us to the airport. I'm like, here, take it, you know, enjoy it. Man. And I had two bottles of it.
All right.
So I was screwed in that matter.
I forgive you, though.
But sure. I will get some so we could bring in the 2017, because it is the first show, so we got to bring it in.
Yeah, this is officially kind of like, all right, we should be cheering today. You know, like we didn't get a chance to do that. When you get a chance to salute.
Salute with tequila. You like tequila, Frank?
Dude, I'm a tequila fan, man.
Ooh, all
I
right.
Mean, not that I drink it off. Actually, last night I had a little tequila. I'm not going to lie. Just a little bit. I sip it. You know, I put a little bit in a
like
cup.
Like a cognac?
Like a cognac, yeah. I don't do it to get hammered. I don't do like the college shots of, you know, like Jose Cuervo.
That's just wasting liquor.
Well, it's wasting liquor.
You gotta enjoy it.
It's a guaranteed headache, too.
Oh, not only that, especially if it's the white one. Headache waiting to happen.
Hey, why is there a bus driving by our window that has balloons that say life on them and kids screaming?
And it's probably some type of school promotion. Or some type of campaign for kids. Oh, yeah, it's all full of kids.
Yeah, lots of them. Two double-decker buses just rolling on by the studio.
They think they're on a Michigan parade, Michigan Avenue parade. Look at their waving.
Encouraging life, which is appropriate for our next guest, right?
Oh, yes.
We're talking more about life designing. Joining me on the phone from DecorAid is Maureen Baker. Hey, Maureen, how are you?
Hey, Frank. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for joining us on a Sunday. How you doing?
I'm hanging in there. It's nice and sunny out here in New York City, so we're enjoying it.
Sunny, and let me guess, like 50-ish, 48?
I wish, yeah. I think somewhere in the 40s, but I'll take it.
Right. Well, it beats 30s. I mean, we've been getting some similar weather out here. But I hear we're going to be hitting 60 next week in New York and 50-something here in Chicago. That's a good thing.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I'll take it for sure.
Something to look forward to. So, yeah. Maureen, for the folks who are not familiar with DecorAid, why don't you tell them all about it?
Sure. So we got formed just a few years ago. Our founders came over, were moving to New York, and couldn't find a design service that really made them feel comfortable and welcome. And I mean, you know the industry. It can be very intimidating and a lot of gray areas with the money and all that stuff. And they said, hey, you know, they met designers like myself who said, it doesn't have to be that way. You know, we can make design accessible and make people feel comfortable talking to us in any budget. We really work with everybody all over the country as well. So, and that was kind of the whole foundation that we built the company on.
That's great. Now, bigger firms are using you guys for your services. You've honed your skills. You, you also have these kind of grouped, you know, programs where, you know, you can get 50% off, you know, retail through this kind of larger savings and discount furniture programs, correct?
Exactly. Correct. So we work directly with a ton of different vendors and manufacturers, and we really try and negotiate the best deal possible because we really just want to save you money. I mean, at the end of the day, it's all about just making people happy and making them comfortable, and we don't feel that there's a huge need to kind of make everyone sacrifice so much of themselves and so much of their savings to have it.
Sure. And, you know, and what we do as designers, you know, it tends to be looked at as somewhat of a luxury item, right? Is that the sense you get from
exactly.
some people?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And so how... And
it's, you know, but it's not... Yeah, it's. I think it's a necessary thing. It's something that... You really need to feel comfortable in your space. It contributes to so much other things in your life that if your spaces aren't conducive to your happiness, you know, it's going to take its toll on you.
Sure, sure. I mean, we all know that. Now, when you say you work with folks of any budget, how does it work when, you know, if I'm a listener and I got, you know, I'm going to spend $1,000, $2,000.
Right.
And a lot of that, I mean, that's sure. that's a low budget when it comes to talking about a home renovation or a home decor. But,
it is.
But say that's my budget.
It really is.
How does a service like, let's use that as a hypothetical number. Let's say $10,000 is your budget. How does okay. a service like yeah. Decorate then work with a client like that?
First thing first, we'll set up a free consultation and we'll send one of our designers into your home. And that's where we kind of identify your wants, your needs. We'll talk about the budget. We'll say, hey, you have 10 grand, but you want to do a bathroom renovation. Not really sure if we're going to get a full gut, but, you know, maybe there are some things we can do that will make the biggest impact. And that's where we kind of bring our experience and our expertise into the game. And we'll kind of pick and choose those key moments where we can kind of push the money towards to make the biggest amount of difference. That said, you know, we've worked with $2,000 or $3,000 budgets where, you know, maybe they just need help with a refresh. Maybe it's just, hey, you know, this, I want to get some artwork, but I'm not even sure where to put it. Or, hey, I need a new sofa, but I don't even know where to start looking or what size will work. And that kind of stuff is really, really simple for us. You know, that's really great and makes a big impact. So we charge $150 an hour, but it's all up front. And we are very transparent as far as where that time is being spent and sort of what value you're getting from it.
So what does an hour look like for a client? Because this is really interesting, you know, to divulge like what yeah. hourlies are, how it breaks down. Because a lot of people don't know. They just think, oh, you know, I'm just paying this person to tell me what to do or to tell me where to buy stuff. So, let's explain the realities of that money, you know, disbursement.
Sure. So it really depends on the project scope and what you're looking to do. But let's use the sofa example, right? You have a couple $1,000s. You want me to come into your living room and just do a little refresh and you want a new sofa. So when I draw up that proposal, I'm going to break it down hour for hour where I'm going to spend that time. So maybe it's going to take me 45 minutes to, you know, go online or go into a store and find the right sofa. And then the time it would take to draw it into your floor plan, make sure it's going to fit, make sure it gets into the elevator, the time it's going to take to purchase it.
Yep.
And you know, manage that tracking, schedule the delivery. And then at the end, project management, just making sure that, hey, you know, I'm going to account for the time it takes to talk to you, the client. I'm going to account for the time it takes to call the vendor and make sure everything is going smoothly. And, you know, it's not an exceptional amount of time, but it does add up. But we break that down for you so you see it.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually very valid, you know, and it's a great explanation of each, you know, a point in the process where it is a time thing. You know, as an interior yeah. designer, it's hard sometimes to show a client the tangible. You know, like, oh, this is exactly what you're getting. But it's all of a time thing, you know. It's like the results are, you know.
Everything takes time.
Everything takes yeah. time. It takes management. It takes effort. And that effort has a value to it. And that value, I think, you know, is a pretty decent value at $150 an hour to get that professional level of service. Now, how many people really, honestly, Maureen, just come to you to shop for a sofa? I mean, is that a really common thing?
Believe it or not, yes. I would say it definitely doesn't make up the majority of people who come to us. But sometimes, you know, people really just don't know. You know, maybe they can do a bathroom renovation on their own, but they just get stuck on that sofa. And that's totally okay. And they don't want to go to a big firm and, you know, walk into these larger interior design firms and say, hey, I just need help with this little stuff.
Yeah.
But at the same time, maybe they've tried doing it on their own and just aren't happy with the results. So we kind of meet in the middle there and kind of fill that niche.
Would you say it trumps the request for color consultation? Or would you say that would be your number one?
I do do actually think it trumps the color consultation.
Really?
I do.
See, I find people have way more hard time picking a color and landing on the right color for them. Oh, yeah, I've seen massive debates happen in households where it's like, no, I want this tone of red or I want that tone of blue.
Oh, it's amazing, isn't it?
It's amazing. And it could be off by a hue and there'd be the biggest disagreement on it.
You know what I found, and this is something that I've only seen recently, maybe within the past year or so, is that people just, you know, gray has become so big and they just pick a gray.
Right.
And that's kind of it.
Then it looks like a jail cell. And they're like, why does it feel like a jail cell?
Exactly, and there's been a lot of this saturation of gray color, especially on the walls, and so I think, and then they kind of pick their pink and they have their gray, and then they're like, well, why isn't everything else working? And that's I find when we get a lot of the calls,
like,
oh, I painted my walls gray, but now my sofa isn't working, and instead of repainting the walls, it's, oh, let's do the sofa,
right?
And, you know, and that's why we go on site and look at it and reassess.
And that's the most important thing, is having some eyeballs on that can tell you the right way to go in the direction. Even if they're small little tweaks and pushes in the direction,
exactly.
I think that's the best service of a designer. And when we come back, we're going to take a quick break, have a little news. I want to talk to you about, if you can hang out, I want to talk to you about some design trends you're looking for in 2017. Some of the trends that are going out, is there anyone you want to tease right now that's on the way out that people will be really happy about?
Copper and rose gold is gone.
Thank God. I had a client this year who was adamant about the whole rose gold thing. And I was like, please, like, it's just a trend. Don't do it in the bathroom. I talked him out of it, by the way, which was kind of so I'm glad you're saying that, because I think that
it has its moment. It has its moment, but
is all gold going out in your opinion? Or do you think just the rose
and
polished? And how about
polished
the antique
gold is going out?
How about the antique gold?
I think it's going to stick around a little while longer. I do.
All right.
Not forever.
I agree.
For a little while.
We were left off with the cliffhanger of what trends, I know, very, very mysterious here, what trends are going out from 2016 and what can we expect in 2017? So we left off with rose gold and forms of gold being on its way out, right?
Yes. Yes. Especially things that are polished and kind of have this sort of faux glammy kind of feeling to them. I think 2017 is going to be a lot more about satin and matte finishes that have more of a like an understated luxury to them rather than the flashy polished metals.
Yeah. I mean, are you seeing an emergence in this kind of steely gunmetal black?
Oh, for sure. I think that's going to be absolutely huge in 2017, especially in appliances.
Yeah, we're seeing it come in waves with fridges and stuff like that. I'm curious when it's going to make its way to faucets and fixtures.
Yeah, I'm curious as well, and I'm looking forward to it because I think that's going to be a really great design moment. But you're right, the market hasn't quite caught up to bringing that to the masses just yet. It's out there, but it's not as saturated as I think it's going to be. Not yet.
How about granite? Everyone's got the big question. Will granite stay or will it go?
You know what? Granite is very functional. And at the end of the day, I think it's going to stick around.
That almost sounded like when your mother says, that boy was cute. You know, like, he's not the hottest kid on the block, but he's cute.
Right. Give him a chance, though. You know, he may be all right.
Right. He'll be the good guy you marry, right?
Exactly.
He won't be the most exciting guy all the time. I hear you.
No, he's not. He's not like the bad boy in high school.
Right. He's not the tattooed bad boy. He's just granite. You know. He's just granite. He's there. He's strong. He's solid.
Yeah. Dependable.
Dependable. Exactly. Sometimes he dresses up. Sometimes it's just jeans and a t-shirt.
Just granite.
It's just granite. Yeah. So what do you see in terms of surfaces when it comes to kitchens and baths?
Seeing a lot of quartz making a really good show. Porcelain obviously is doing a good job. A lot of composite materials and faux materials are really having a good moment. Technology now, is giving us this opportunity where, is it marble? Is it not marble? Do
we
care? Like that kind of thing, and it's a lot more cost effective too to see these faux finishes.
Do you like products like concrete's hot. Do you see like products like Silestone?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I think so, too. I like them. I mean, the neutrality of them, you know, they do have the stone look to them. I think they're super durable. Yeah. They're antimicrobial. A lot of great benefits from these newer technologies and surfaces. Okay, exactly. Let's see what else. How about flooring? What do you see? Are we still going wide planked with the wood flooring, or is it changing?
You know, I'm seeing a lot of the same. I'm not seeing, I mean, and especially because the flooring industry, it revolutionizes itself, but not year to year. So we're not seeing a ton of changes right now. Maybe in the next couple of years, we'll start seeing more of those faux finishes make their way towards other surfaces. Maybe it's floors and walls and things like that. But I think for right now, again, old dependable, wide plank versus, you know, something more narrow. You know, stick to the architecture of your home, make sure it's being true to what you like and whatever budget you're working in. But for the most part, you know, wood is here to stay.
Got it. Good stuff. I like to hear that. And finally, backsplashes, in or out, any new innovations?
Yes. Seeing a huge trend of kind of matching your backsplash to your counter. That has been really beautiful and has this great sort of, you know, with continuity.
Yeah,
in
I like
design
it too.
That I think is really modern. You know, and I think the mosaics obviously kind of had their moment. I think glass had its moment, kind of moving on. Seeing some new materials kind of working in their new designs, new innovations. Again, concrete is just really kind of taking the world by storm right now, and I love it.
Well, let's talk about that, because concrete, you know, it's all about what a collective design, you know, energetically gives off. You know, when you use the word concrete, it's very, you know, cold and basic in its form, but it for some reason it's grounding for a lot of people in design. What's your opinion on how design affects life in the confines of home?
How design affects life? I mean, it's all about comfort, right? I mean, it's all about really what makes you happy. So if it's a material, if it's and of course there's obviously the any sort of ego implications that come along with that. You want a healthy home. You want literally healthy, not just mentally healthy. I mean, a physically healthy home. Just making sure that all of your materials are consistent with that approach.
Yeah, and are you of the belief system of, you know, where energetically with pieces and lighting and texture, if that doesn't jive, you know, do you feel like that can make somebody feel imbalanced?
Oh, absolutely. I am a huge believer in the psychology of the materials and textures you put into your home. Absolutely. I think that, and it's the kind of stuff that really kind of affects you subconsciously as well. It's not always a conscious realization of, hey, why doesn't this space feel right? Or why am I not happy in here? Why am I not comfortable? Sometimes it's very subconscious. And, you know, as interior designers, we are psychologists to a point. You know, it is our job to sort of decode what you're feeling in a space and figure out sometimes when you can't. What needs to happen in there? That's a huge part of that.
Certainly. I mean, you hear the term design therapy used very often in our industry.
Oh, for sure.
You know, and it really is important to get out and draw out from the client what it is their true deep, you know, wishes are. And then, you know, if you're good, you nail it, you know, and I think that's really important.
Exactly.
How that works.
And that takes time and a lot of work.
It does.
A lot of work to figure that out.
And you know what I tell people a lot, not about you, but lighting. You know, lighting is so crucial to that ambiance. I think because you can have the best design in the world, but if it's not lit right and you don't have, you know,
agreed.
You know, dimmers, man. If you don't live in a house that has dimmers, something's wrong with you. You know, you're missing out.
Oh, I'm with you. It's a no-brainer. Absolute no-brainer.
You know,
and we're seeing it a lot with the technology coming in now, too. It makes it so easy.
Yeah.
You know, all these new smart home technology pieces, and they're very accessible now. You know, it's not just these huge, you know, million-dollar homes that have it. Like, we could all have that kind of luxury.
And we can have it from the luxury of our phone. We can have an app that controls our lighting, controls our windows, you know, controls basically
wonderful.
Our entire lives when it comes to the home. How about music?
When you say it like that, it sounds scary.
Right, exactly.
Music. Yeah.
Do you feel music plays a part in design?
I think music, like kind of like art, I think it's very subjective. I think it's hard to say. It definitely, client to client will differ how it affects them, if it affects them. I don't think it's something that's across the board. I think it's something that really is very personal.
Right. And but in terms of the installation of music systems, whole house music systems, is that something you guys are doing?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about literal music.
No, I am on some level, definitely. I think it absolutely, you know, can complement a design. And you know, but that, yeah. Like you said, is based on personal preference. But certainly, sure. Certainly, you know, the idea of...
The technology, though, it's there. And it, as long as you're kind of controlling your lights, this idea that you can, you know, control your music, control your televisions, control, like, really create this integrated lifestyle is amazing that we have the opportunity to do that.
Yeah, I mean, wasn't it Austin Powers that had that room where, like, he hit the button and the entire room turned into this, like, kind of boudoir and had the music all connected at one time? I mean, joking.
Now we can all be Austin Powers.
Right, we can all, what is it, naughty? Yeah, exactly. yeah, so, I mean, that's the future of where we're heading with all this. And, you know, do you guys have any automation in terms of the design process with the Decorate?
What do you mean, automation?
Or like apps or connectivity where people can actually, you know, because with what we do, a lot of our design is digital as well. You know, we'll be sending digital renderings. We'll be, you know, uploading, you know, inspirational images for clients. You know, how do people listening work with Decorate?
Sure. And it's definitely something I think with new and emerging technologies that we're constantly looking to grow and evolve with as our company grows and evolves. But right now, we do use an online system where, you know, we have a client portal where they can come in, they can view all of their purchases, they can see kind of what we're working on, our milestones, where we are in the process, which I think is pretty fantastic. And it really gives the client a lot of power so that they can feel really comfortable with what they're paying for. You know, it's like they don't ever have to guess, you know, what is Maureen working on right now? What is she spending her time on?
Right.
They can log on and see all that, which is really cool. And then more than that, you know, I know within the next few years or so, I think we're really going to be looking to integrate more technology and more accessibility, you know, through our phones, our computers, however it is that we want to communicate, really streamlining that relationship.
Sounds good. We're talking to Maureen Baker from Decorate. Maureen, how do people get a hold of you guys?
www.decorate.com.
Awesome. Great talking to you. Have a great weekend, and I'm sure we'll have you back on the show to talk about some mid-year trends and see if...
Sounds good.
All right, take care.
All right, thanks, Frank. Bye.
Crank it up, Dave. Crank it up. We got a DJ in the house.
Yeah, I'm judging this.
Yeah, don't judge.
Relentlessly.
Don't judge our dance styles, please.
And don't judge Dave as a DJ because he's not a good DJ.
Oh, never.
He's on the air.
Yeah, we're on right now.
Oh, hi.
Yeah, hi. Well, that's very easy, by the way. She's a president
that's how
owner.
How casual we are.
Yeah, exactly. This is the owner of Toast and Jams, DJs, president and friend of mine, Mary Nisi.
Oh, hi, Frank Fontana.
Hi, how are you?
Nice to see you.
Nice to see you again.
Those are some sweet headphones, actually.
Thank you. Yeah.
Those are your personal?
Those are my personal. This is what I use on the air.
Dang.
Fancy, yeah. We had the Prima on, which is the name of the brand of them.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And he was
did like, I just actually, like, pimp your headphones
you
without even realizing I was
you
going
did.
Down that road?
I often get accolades for the headphones, but I got to be honest, they were a gift, and they're a really nice gift.
Yeah, no, they look sweet.
They're like the Italian design.
Do they swivel?
They don't swivel.
Yeah, see, they can't be DJ headphones then.
See, now you have to wear them for the podcast picture, Frank, so people can know what we're talking about.
I will. Take a picture and post it.
Yeah.
On Mary's podcast?
No, on the WGN Radio one.
Yeah.
They're pretty sweet.
So Mary is a multi-talented gal.
Oh, am I?
You are. She hosts a podcast.
It's not a podcast.
I'm sorry. It does live online after, though, right?
It lives online, but it's a radio. Well, it's actually, we don't archive the show for general public, but...
Why don't you?
Because it's a lot of space it takes up, and we are a completely volunteer-run radio station, and we fundraise all of our money, so we don't have...
From where? Tell us about the show.
It's Chirp Radio, which is the Chicago Independent Radio Project.
Nice.
And I'm on tomorrow from 12 until 3.
Cool.
And
make sure you guys check her out, guys.
We are presently online only, but we do have a terrestrial signal. We'll be at 107.1 FM. We're in the process of building a tower, and it's just incredibly expensive, and there's a lot of red tape and all this other stuff, so it's taking a while. But we will be on the air on the FM. Rocking the FM. You guys rock the AM.
Sweet.
Yeah. Very
we
soon.
We were FM briefly, right, Dave? I think we really had a moment. We were on WGN FM. But now we're just...
For the news, yeah.
And sports, I think it was.
And MeTV, I believe it was, right?
Oh. Yeah.
I love MeTV FM.
Yeah. Who doesn't?
It's like my favorite radio station outside of my own.
Of course. But that's not your full-time gig.
No.
Your full-time gig is running this company, Toast and Jam. Tell us about it.
We are a DJ company here in Chicago. We started in 2005, so we're in our 11th year of business.
That's amazing, by the way. I mean, DJ business going for 11 years.
I was told when I started the company repeatedly over and over by anybody who I told I was starting a business that most businesses fail inside the first year. So, you know, but the first year happened, and then the fifth year happened, and here I am.
11 years later. And you guys, so your bread and butter, would you say, would be weddings?
My toast and jam?
Your toast and, how could I not say toast and jam? your jam would be mostly weddings?
We do mostly weddings. Yeah. We do mostly weddings, but we do a ton of corporate work. Additionally, especially on the holidays, we do a lot of weird, we've done a lot of weird stuff. We've DJed like the ends of 5Ks and like
bar mitzvahs.
We have done a handful of bar mitzvahs because our whole thing is the music. We don't have lights. We don't have props. We don't even do, we don't do photo booths, anything extraneous that a lot of other DJ companies might do. We do one thing, it's music, and we do it really well. So typically a bar mitzvah or a bat mitzvah client is looking for dancers and other
stuff.
So when we've done some bar mitzvahs, it's just been like nerdy kids that just really like to dance. So, and they've been really successful, but we have to make it very clear to the client before we go into it that like, This is what you're getting, a DJ standing behind a table playing music and not talking very much.
So you're not out there like encouraging, like you don't have like the what do they call them, the fluffer? The fluffer?
A fluffer.
Yeah, they get out there and they're like, hey.
The technical term is fluffer. Put that fluffer, down. Yeah. No one Google that.
No.
It's the hype man. We have no hype man. There's no bezes in Toast and Jam. So I guess there are some DJs that will like get on the mic and be like, this song was number one with a bullet in 1956. Or like, hey, grandma and grandpa, get on here. And it's like,
I feel like
music needs to stand for itself. And luckily, the last 80 years of popular music has been pretty awesome.
Right.
Is 80? Is that being judicious? Now the 60s.
You, in your mind, have an amazing recall for music. I remember, working. Mary was one of our homeowners on Downtown Chatty.
I was. And, I didn't know if you could talk about that.
Yeah, we could. Now we could. in doing so, we got to get to know Mary really well. And,
a little too well.
Almost a little too well. which is a whole nother show.
Yeah.
But we got to understand her love for music and her collection of vinyl. And we did some special things with some, records to kind of, reinforce that. But not enough. I mean, your basement's full of crates, and your mental recall for songs are phenomenal.
Well, it's my job.
Yeah, but it's more than a job for you. This is a passion.
True. I mean, I managed to make my passion my job and not ruin it in the process.
Yeah. I mean, let's talk about that for a second. Because so many people would love to do that. I mean, so many people love music. They're like, oh, one day I'd love to be... Like, how did you take that love and passion and turn it into a very successful company?
Well, I think that my biggest skill in being a business owner is knowing my limitations. I've got my amazing publicist sitting behind me, Liz. Like, when she came onto the business, she's been working with me since 2007. Can you believe it? It's been 10 years. So... I mean, my business took off after she, I was doing everything. Before Liz came on, I was doing all my own marketing and promotions, and I would just like,
But what'd you do? They just say, I'm going to take whatever money I have, I'm going to go buy a whole bunch of turntables and some speakers.
So I started the business, and I immediately took out, back in those days, wedding magazines were actually like the way you found out about things, way back when in the first...
Wait, you did do the wedding like conventions and stuff like that?
We did some show. We do shows. We don't do like the Rosemont. yeah, we're not at the Rosemont Convention Center doing wedding shows, but I immediately took out a really big ad in a really expensive magazine. That was like the first thing I did because I was like, this will make me look really legitimate. So I spent all of my money, literally, like I had,
and not knowing it would really work, right?
Not really.
Yeah.
And I took out this really expensive ad in a really expensive magazine, and it worked. I mean, knock on Formica, like it's. I've had a lot of missteps along the way. I'm not going to sit here and say it's just been this amazing gilded path I've taken, but I have a degree in art history and English. It's not like this is like something that I was.
What were you going to do with your degree? What was your dream?
I'm really good at doing walking tours of the loop by myself in my head, and I'm amazing at Jeopardy.
While intoxicated.
Yeah. I just get drunk and wander around. I'm like, this is a load-bearing wall.
She has a lawyer on her Yeah, that's great.
I'm really good at Jeopardy.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was the 90s when I was in college. You didn't go to school for necessarily a thing. You went because you wanted to, you know,
get
read
out of
poetry
your house.
And,
right.
you know, get away from your parents and, yeah. you know, be here. So, yeah, I just always, you know, I've had an accountant since day one. I've had a lawyer since day one. And I just...
You had a team.
I had a team. And that's the thing. I am definitely of the feeling that, like, even though I started this business and it's, you know, it's at the end of the day, it's my, you know, the sword I fall on. Like, I don't even begin to think that I did this by myself. Like, yeah. I had, you know, help and I knew where to ask for help and I knew where to not trust some advice. And most of it, you know, I don't know. I just got lucky in many ways, but.
And you think this is, we got to take a quick break here. We'll have news and you're going to hang out with us if you could.
Yeah, I'm here.
For another, you know, little bit here. Because I want to talk about, you know, the fact that it is engagement season.
It is engagement season.
Ugh,
that is a Lord. Thing. Well, it's an unofficial thing within the wedding industry. I don't think that people know that it's.
Oh, trust me. I'm sure Hallmark is going to listen to this and catch on. There'll be a whole new slew of commercials for engagement season. But did you think you'd be doing this forever?
No. I mean, you know, I really had no idea that this was going to work. And I'd always had like a job for 2 years and then did something else. I was really good at reinventing myself.
Yeah.
And I just thought that this would last for a little while and then it'd fail and then I'd have to like become a barista or something.
Awesome. Yeah. Dave, you got to crank that up, man. You need to learn some DJ skills from DJ Mary Nisi. Do they call you DJ Mary Nisi?
I mean, yeah, I keep my DJ name. I'm not like DJ snazzy stuff.
Why not? Whatever. I love that.
Maybe I need to trademark DJ snazzy stuff. Liz,
I do kind of like it. Work on that? Can you have the attorney work on that? Okay.
I just always wanted my name to be attached to everything, so I wouldn't there'd be no confusion over...
But what if you would get like a Christian couple that would be like DJ snazzy stuff? What? You know, some people that are like very religious or very like.
How is some snazzy stuff not religious?
Well, you know, is that religiously some people are offensive? Very, well, not offensive, but people, when I've seen certain events, some people are very peculiar about certain names and certain.
Well, I mean, that definitely comes up. I mean, the DJs that work for me for the most part are women. Mm-hmm. I have like.
I saw the pictures and they can put a party together, Frank.
But I think Dave's looking for a dress.
I know, right? Do you have a dress? I'm kidding. I do have three. I have three dudes, and then the rest of them are women. I've got about 15 girls that work for me.
You have 15 employees just on the front end of it?
I've got 17, 18, 19, like almost 20.
I'm looking for work. Can I come work for you?
You with those headphones?
Hey, now.
I'm disabled.
Just come and wear the headphones.
I definitely have had pieces to go back to what you were saying about like
nicknames
or like, religious things. Like we've had people where I've given them a women, like I've assigned them a female DJ, and they'll be like, for religious purposes, we need a male DJ, and it's like,
what religion states that you need a male DJ? I've never. Please call in 312-981-7200 if your religion doesn't allow a female DJ.
You know, one time I was emceeing a cotillion, and they were very Christian, and I mentioned alcohol. I said, you know, I think I said tequila, or I said vodka, whatever, and they come and they tell me, we don't drink. I'm like oh my
fired.
God. I'm like, I was just trying to put a show.
Yeah.
Like, I just mentioned, I don't know if it was vodka or tequila. I don't even remember.
Some kind of alcohol.
But it's like, really? Are you not even at a party? You're going to loosen up?
Yeah.
And or just acknowledge the existence of alcohol in the world.
Exactly.
and its ability to lubricate a social situation.
Yes. I love that. All right, let's switch gears here a little bit. Because we have talked about nothing while you're supposed to be here. The engagement season.
Yes.
We're in it.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think it's not like on the calendar it says engagement season, but I think people tend to get engaged over the holidays, up until Valentine's Day as a kind of a, you know, a way to kind of, you know...
Yeah.
Surprise and not surprise somebody with an engagement at the same time.
Did you get engaged in this season?
I did not. I got engaged in August.
How is my good man John doing?
He's amazing.
He is amazing. Your son is amazing, too.
He's at home building an aquarium as we speak.
Love it. Love it. Thanksgiving through Valentine's Day is where most couples become engaged.
Yeah.
January, February, March are when most couples begin planning their weddings. When do you get that call?
Well, so here's the thing. Most people, a lot of people get engaged over the holidays, and then they want to get married in the year immediately preceding the engagement. And what sucks for them is that everybody that got engaged last year has already booked this year. So, you know, people are either scrambling to get married, they'll either pick a Friday or a Sunday, or then they'll just, you know, pump it to the next year.
Or bump it. I'm sorry. We planned it like a month.
Really?
We were like, oh, let's get married. Okay, let's do it.
I had very specific needs for my wedding, so I was engaged for 1,000 years.
Were you a bridezilla?
Oh, no.
What is everybody laughing
about?
Well,
Liz is giving me a look. Now, I thought I was only bridezilla towards the end when, like, there was some weird, you know, just the end of planning is horrifying. But, yeah. I mean, when I got in, what's funny about me getting engaged, I was just telling the story to your next guest, but we got engaged, bought a house, and then moved into the house within 3 weeks of each other. Oh. And my husband, when he got in, after we got engaged, like, honey, can we just wait until after we move into the house to, like, start planning the wedding? I'm like, that's totally how that's going to go down. And, like, within 2 days, I had the entire wedding planned.
Jeez.
I mean, I knew where I wanted to get married. God. I knew where who wanted to shoot it. Like, I mean, there were things that were definitely left on the table, but, I mean, the whole wedding was planned.
Did John have any say?
He chose the caterer.
He did.
Mm-hmm.
After you vetted him?
Of course.
Of course. Yeah. So, yeah. All right. Anyway, so we find that the best dance floors occur when there's a variety of music.
Yes.
Explain.
Well, I mean, you know, we don't have like a Motown DJ or a disco DJ or a DJ that only does new songs. Like, when you're at a wedding, you've got a pretty broad demographic of people there. You've got your friends and your immediate family, but you also have grandparents and grandparents, or grandmas and grandpas, aunts and uncles. Your parents might have their business colleagues there. So you've got a pretty wide variety of people there. So you have to make sure that you're hitting all of that at the same time.
Yeah.
And our company, people tend to hire us because they've got specific taste of music, and we've got a really good way of trying to integrate that in. But at the same time, you can't just have, like, you know, I only want new music, because your grandma and grandpa aren't going
to
dance to that.
Well, how do you go from Jay-Z to Frank Sinatra?
That's actually not so hard. You could actually do that pretty easily. You could do that probably like in 2 or 3 steps. Because, I mean, if you could go from Frank Sinatra into New York State of Mind very easily, actually, because there's like the piano at the beginning of it, so it's not so such a, but it would be very hard to go from like The Way You Look Tonight into Big Pimpin'. It would take a couple of steps to get there. And that's something for people who are requesting music to know, is that just because you request a song at that moment, it doesn't mean I can get it in right away, because you definitely have to, you can't have abrupt changes on the dance floor too much, because it's alienating and distracting, and people will be like, I need a drink now because I don't know what to do with this. And then they like walk away and they rebuild the entire dance floor because you made a bad transition.
Well, speaking of building the dance floor, I think you're referring to not literally building the dance floor, but getting people off their seats. And what is your go-to, number one, if I put this jam on, everybody's coming out?
It depends on what part of the night it is. So, you know, when you were first, if you have the first dance, you have the parent dances, you can't just flip the party switch and go from, you know, from that to...
Let's say wedding, right? Let's use wedding as our broad example of a party.
Yes.
So what is your go-to song? Everybody, I don't like weddings, to be honest with you. Not because I'm a disbeliever in it. I just think, you know, it's for everybody else, really. Moni Moni. I mean...
Hell no.
Oh, that was for the 90s was it. Every time Moni Moni came out, I was like, oh.
The gross Billy Idol version?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's, luckily, it's, I mean.
What's your go-to then?
Well, it depends on what part of the night it is. So if it's the beginning of the night.
Give me the three scenarios, beginning, middle, and end.
Well, if it's the first song right out of the gate, you can't start with, you know, Bruno Mars right away. You've got to start slow and classic. So like for me, like At Last by Etta James, like it sounds kind of corny and traditional, but it is dance floor fire kindle.
It's
like it, I mean, everybody comes out. If I try to like mix it up a little bit and play like some Sam Cooke or something, it's like some people will come out, but the second I play At Last, it just gets everybody out there.
So you got grandpa who danced with his niece, you got moms and dads,
and everyone knows the song.
Everybody knows
because Beyonce sang it at the at the inauguration a couple of years ago, and so you know, it's a song that everybody knows, and everybody middle of the party.
Things are there. Everyone's just ate. Maybe their bellies are a little full.
They want to get on it. I mean, September by Earth, Wind, and Fire. That's always a good.
Do you remember?
Yeah, that's a big jam. Billie Jean is also a good early dance floor, because you don't want to throw out all the hits right away. You don't want to like just get into 128 beats per minute and just stay there for 2 hours. You need to like warm up to it. So,
what's your bring it home songs?
Bringing it home songs. Well, it depends on, also depends on the crowd as well.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if it's
so you got
like
a drinking crowd, they're hanging, they're having a good time.
I mean, like Low by Flo Rida.
Oh, yeah.
That song still kills it.
Yeah, it does.
You know, I mean, What else is kind of, I mean.
Nelly, a little Nelly here.
Oh, yeah, hot in here. That's the thing. The 90s and, like, older stuff is, I mean, we're also in January. It's kind of a weird time of year to be trying to work a day. I mean, there's wedding season is kind of not happening right now. So, but, yeah, the 90s are really big right now.
The 90s are always big. Well, I feel like it's the new 60s, you know?
Well, and I think part of it is that people who are, like, 28 years old, that was their childhood.
Yeah.
You know, so, like. You know, they had to have, like...
That was my childhood in the 90s. Well, not my, I mean, my childhood. It was more like my...
It was your mental childhood.
It was my mental... I'm still a mental child, yeah. Trust me. We're talking to Mary Nisi, president and owner of Toast and Jam DJs. Mary, how can people get a hold of you? We got people texting in, want to know the name
really?
Of the company. Yeah.
It's toastandjamdjs.com is our website. And you can find us there.
And what about Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram?
Oh, yeah. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Toast awesome. And Jam DJs, I think, is the... The little chunk you put after the URL.
Little chunk that after mm-hmm. that at thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that little at symbol.
Mm-hmm.
At she's good. So I could see why she needs a publicist.
Yeah.
that was the worst self-promotion I've ever had on the show.
I'm like, you can just find me. Just Google me.
Mary Nisi.
And, yeah. Don't Google Fluffer.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Please don't. Please don't.
Yeah, or DJ Snazzy Jazz.
Either one. You'll get thrown jammer, out of religious jammer. Events for that one. Mary, thank you so much.
Are we done?
We're done, unfortunately.
Is this it?
That's it. I have Ann Nordhaus Bike waiting on deck right now. And we have to, if you want the reading of a lifetime, by the way, you should hang out and listen to some of these readings. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Get on the line now. We already have people waiting. If you want to get your free on-air astrology reading from one of the best in the business, my celebrity astrologer, Ann, is in the house.
So she could do me right now on the air?
As a matter of fact, we'll lead with you. How about that? Hang out, and Ann will do your reading right
oh
now.
Oh, my God. My jaw's on the ground. I'm so excited.
Boom. Joining us is our very own astrologer to the stars, Ann Nordhaus Bike. Ann, welcome back. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Thanks for having me back. Gosh, it's always great to see you.
You look fantastic.
Thank you. Yeah,
you really do.
I mean, but
you are a fancy lady.
Thank
but
you.
She went through a major physical transformation. If you would have seen Ann, let's say what?
2 years ago.
2 years ago, yeah. She was
different.
Different.
You know, I went vegan. 18 yeah. months ago, and 55 pounds fell off.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. Yeah. You know what my nickname is now?
What's that?
This is from my husband, Bill, who's, by the way, in
Sexy
studio
pants?
With us. He calls me the Stick.
The Stick.
He's like, good morning, Stick.
Bill does have a whole new smile on his face since the last time I've seen him.
Why, yes, he does.
Good for you, Bill.
Yes, and I have to say, I made the sweater I'm wearing.
Oh, my
it's
goodness.
Pretty hot.
Designed it. Isn't it cool?
So it's this beautiful pink, knitted thing with, white accents, and then her hair's pink, and her eyebrows are pink, and her lips are pink, and her nails are pink, and her jewelry's pink. You're basically, a Komen ad right now.
She's a vision. She's right.
I was an art history major. What can you do?
Me too.
Yeah, high five across the room.
That's awesome. So, Mary, I don't know if you ever heard Ann on my show before.
I haven't. This is exciting.
So, Ann, comes on and we talk about what's going on in the world of astrology. And then we open up our phone lines and talk to guests about what's going on in their life and try to give them some, kind of guidance from the stars. And Ann's not channeling anything. She's not the psychic. She's using science, the science of astrology, to help predict some of the things that are happening.
Well, and I know nothing about, I'm like bad, I'm not, I don't really understand my signs, so I feel like I'm a good blank slate here.
It's perfect.
Read so me start. Like crazy. I will project nothing onto you because I know nothing.
Yeah, and let's warm it up a little bit. And give everyone listening, if they're new to the show, a quick background.
Sure.
And then your website as well.
Thank you so much. I'm a longtime astrologer to the stars here on the Frank Fontana Show. It'll be 4 years this April.
Wow.
Can you believe it?
That's
oh, my
awesome.
Goodness. It's so
That's
exciting.
Awesome.
And I've been involved in astrology my whole life. I was raised with it. Big family, so we knew our signs. We'd have all these 9 people around the dining room table, and everybody's, different, and it was wild and crazy. Lots of fire signs. There was an Aries in there, Frank.
Oh, yeah.
Frank's an Aries.
Tell me about it. So was my wife.
Yeah, crazy town, lots of high energy.
Crazy town.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey.
But I actually did a lot of business in my background, but I moved into astrology back seriously for my career almost 20 years ago, and actually this last year has been amazing because I'm actually bringing it even more, this astrology. Besides individuals, I'm doing a lot of work with businesses. So actually, I'm helping executives, business owners, and entrepreneurs who are dealing with dysfunctional teams and having problems with their business results. I'm the person who comes in and helps them get the team back on track, primarily using astrology as well as all the communication and business experience that I have to get folks back on track so that they can get the deliverables and really help get things where they need to be. So the website is www.annnordhausbike.com. And actually, the top of the website, for all of our listeners who are used to that website, they'll see the business stuff's at the top. all the astrology stuff you know and love, all those resources, they're down at the bottom, the lower bottom menu. But this year, oh my goodness, we talked about this a little bit, Frank. Oh, this is an amazing year for astrology and for relationships. I promise some relationship secrets. If you have crummy relationships, this is year to fix them. And the reason being that Jupiter is in Libra. That is the sign. It's totally good that you're asking for this today, Mary, because it's all about weddings.
Mm.
Libra is the sign of partnership, business partnership. So if you've got a merger of some kind, if you've got a business partnership, you know, like if you're in some kind of a partnership with your business or any kind of thing that you do, like if you've got, you know, you said you've got a lawyer, you've got a tax accountant, all those things, all these, you know, partnerships, this is the year to really look at those and make them great or move on and get new people. Jupiter's there, really, it's going to magnify the good stuff and the bad stuff. But for Aquarius, oh my goodness, what an exciting year for you. Jupiter.
Do tell.
Yes.
Jupiter is basically in your solar house, the ninth house of travel. This is a really good year for you to expand by travel.
Interesting.
By higher education, by publishing, by broadcasting. All of these areas are really, really good for you to look at. And any partnerships that you have in these areas, any relationships. And this is a fantastic time to go back in the past and take a look at what were you doing from September 2004 to October 2005. That's the last time we had Jupiter in Libra. So if you keep a calendar, if you have, you know, stuff that you can go back and look at.
So what was
you
it?
Have good recall. So what was happening?
Wait, what were these years?
September 2004 to October 2005.
That I started Toast and Jam in November of 2005.
Wow. I just got chills.
So, like, that
you're coming of age now. You have this chance to really take it to the next level this year.
Well, it's funny you're mentioning all this business stuff because I actually hired a business coaching company that's been, like, kind of tearing my business apart and, like, rebuilding it. And, like, I actually completely changed my entire – as of February 1st, I'm, like, completely changing the structure of my business.
Wow. It's a great time to be doing
crazy.
It.
Crazy.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, it was crazy doing it anyway, but now that I know that the stars made me do it, it's even weirder.
And the stars are aligned for you to do it.
Right.
You know what I mean? So what direction you've been pulled in and in making that happen is now – it's going to happen.
Yeah, because all my DJs were independent contractors, and I'm turning them all into employees as of February 1st.
This is huge.
Yeah, it's huge.
And next year, starting 2018, Frank, our Aries, has had Uranus in your sign since 2008.
I've had something in my Uranus, but
I know, and it's like, you've had enough of it.
Does she cheer you know about this?
It's going to go into Taurus.
What does it mean for me? Like,
what does that mean? You've had nothing but a nonstop thrill ride since then. Nothing but constant change
in your
whole life. Nothing that you could predict. Every area of your life. You know, you got married. You had children. You moved. You just had all these amazing things happen. Change doesn't have to be bad. It's just all this unexpected stuff. But it can be fabulous unexpected stuff. I mean, look at you today. You're amazing. All this stuff you've done.
Appreciate it.
Downtown Shabby. Oh, my God. All this success.
He's aging in reverse.
Yeah, right.
And he's writing a book.
And I'm writing a new book. Yeah.
Is it a romance novel?
Oh, no. Yeah, maybe. With my romance of design and life and all that stuff. Yeah, it is going to be fun. I mean, I do have a new project on the way right now and, you know, lots of great opportunities.
How fabulous.
Listen, life is never easy.
No.
There's no doubt about it. And we all struggle and have our things.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's nice to hear that there's some, you know, some light here and there that
yes.
you can look towards. As you've got your head down, grunting it out and fixing your, you know, businesses and problems in life and you're working through some really difficult times.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that's what makes us stronger.
And that's the other thing, too, is everything we say on the show, and Frank and I have talked about this a lot in the past, it's, you know, the potential is there, but it won't happen unless people make a move. They have to take some action, like you're doing, Mary, with the changes in your business. So that's what I would always say is, you can't just sit there and wait for it to happen. You have to, first of all, get the clarity on what it is that you would like to see, or at least an idea of what it's going to be.
The tools.
And then, exactly, what's the next step going to be?
Good stuff. Well, we got to take a quick break here. We're with Ann Dornes. Mike, you're welcome to hang, Mary, if you want. I mean, this is fun.
Thanks so much for my reading.
Yeah,
oh, you're very welcome. It's so exciting for you.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have the news a little bit more, and then we'll take your calls. We have a full deck.
Sure.
People have been waiting. Well, let's go to Matt. Hey, Matt, thanks for calling in.
Hi.
Hey, Matt. So what's your sign?
I'm a Leo, but I'm a July 23rd, so cusp.
Leo, July 23rd, cusp. Okay. So what's going on in your life right now?
Well, what got me to call in was just wanting to know what was showing up for career.
Okay, Ian?
Yeah. So you're a Leo, and July 23rd, my recommendation, Matt, just really quickly for anybody who is born on the edge of the signs like that is, you know, definitely check it out to make sure that you truly are a Leo. Yes, you probably are, by the way. And if that's the case, you're totally a Leo. They used to say on the cusp, but that's from many years ago when they didn't know, when it was harder to know exactly what your sign is. If you do want to check, you can find that out on my website in that bottom menu on the homepage, by the way, just FYI. And then in terms of career, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens to you starting next year. Because remember what I was talking about earlier with Frank, where he's had Uranus in his sign for so many years. It's going to go into Taurus, which is in your career house. So hold on for a wild ride in the career and the public sector for you. It could really break through some barriers, and it could bring all kinds of unexpected surprises. But that could be a good thing. I'm just letting you know that, you know, change can be great. Does that sound at all on point with what's going on with you, Matt?
Right now, it's kind of it's been stalled out for a while, and so a change would be good.
Yeah. I'm going to give you some dates here, hon. Actually, May 15th, 2018 is when it's first going to go into Taurus, and you are so early in the sign in Leo that these early dates are going to affect you. It's going to be in Taurus through 2025. So you're going to have this long run of really interesting stuff, and I think if you followed Frank's career, you know he's had all these really interesting, cool things happen.
Yep.
And so you can prepare for that, you know. It's all this unexpected stuff, things you're not expecting, but that can be great because it can break you out of things, and you're fixed sign. You're a Leo. That sign can be really stuck sometimes and not want to change. So this is going to force you to change, and that can be a good thing.
Yeah, and Matt, just so you know, I mean, good things do happen, but it does, you know, life still happens around them, you know, and it's just about, it's also keeping a really positive attitude, and really the biggest thing with any of this is just believing in yourself. Honestly, at the end of the day, that's what it takes. Whatever that dream is, whatever that work goal is, it's consistency, focus, and never, ever, ever giving up.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
Thanks for calling, Matt. We appreciate it.
Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
All right, let's talk to Judy. Judy says her birthday is next Sunday. Hey, Judy, thanks for calling the Frank Fontana Show.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I'm retired, and I had my house up for sale last year. Nothing much happened. I took it off the market. And I'm just wondering, you know, if you see a move in my future. I'm thinking, should I try selling it again this year? I'm even thinking about maybe moving to Florida, but I don't know. It all depends on if I can sell my house.
So, Judy, you're born on January 22nd then?
Yes.
Yeah. So you're really, really early in the sign, I think. You know, I think, so you're an Aquarius then. You know that,
correct.
Right?
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah. And again, early in the sign. So some of the things that we were talking about earlier with Mary in terms of what's going on with her certainly apply to you in terms of the Aquarian energies. And so your question, your question was about like what's happening with retired. You are retired,
and
right?
Selling
I
your
am,
house.
Yeah. Right, I am.
And you're wondering about selling the house, right?
Right.
Yeah. Well, your house of home would be that fourth house, and that would be Aries for you, actually. So this thing that's going on with Uranus being in the Aries sign, a lot of unpredictable things that's been going on with your home base. I'm guessing that you may have had a lot of questions about it, like you sort of being pushed one way and then another way and not being able to sort of, you know, make headway with it.
Yeah.
There's some points during this year where you're going to feel a bit more of that, and that's going to be... That's going to be going on March and then in September. But I know that you could certainly help come through this and have some interesting things come forward in this house of home. Pay attention to the dates around when the sun goes into Taurus. That's when it's really going to light this up for you. And the sun will be in Taurus starting April 19th. Now, I don't know if you had a time frame for selling the house.
No.
Okay, mm-hmm. So April 19th, that's when you're going to have a lot of energy going on down in that house of home, and it'll be going on for a month until May 20th. That would be a really good time for you to take a look at that. And then if it doesn't happen then, what you can do is take a look later in the year. That would be in the fall in November. We're going to get a full moon and a new moon in Taurus. Those things will come later on. They'll be November 4th. We're going to get a full moon. That's another time that you might want to take a look at that could really light that up for you.
Okay.
And then,
thank you.
And Judy, while we have you on the phone, just, in terms of your home not selling, talk to me just quickly about the real world elements in there. Are you staging it correctly? What does the house look like right now? And what kind of feedback are you getting from that? Because I can maybe help you in the design side of this.
Uh-huh. Well, I had some friends come and help me kind of stage it a little bit. It's a small ranch. It needed some work. I put new windows in. But you know what everybody's complaint is? That I showed it, I only have one bathroom.
One bathroom.
And yeah. Everyone that saw the house, you know, so everybody's saying, well, is there another way you can put another bathroom in the house? But mm-hmm. I don't know if I want to do that kind of expense. But
in what area is the house in?
Evergreen Park.
Evergreen Park. How many bedrooms?
Three.
Three bedrooms. And what's the price, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, we were asking like $159.
It seems pretty reasonable, $159.
Right. But like I said, everybody that saw the house, that was their main complaint. Well, oh, you only have one bathroom. So
is there room in the house for another bathroom?
I don't know. Maybe I could make a closet into a little bathroom, but then I would lose a closet, and I've only got like four or five closets right now, so I don't know.
Is the house something where you need to still pay off on it, or you?
No.
Since you fully own it. The reality comes down to are you living in the house?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And you'd be prepared to move quickly if need be?
If need be. Yeah.
Because the reality is this. If you want to move the house, if you want to make the change in your life in the real world, uh-huh. Price the house right, price it a little lower than you really want to, you'll sell that house.
Yeah.
Be a motivated seller.
Be a motivated seller, and you'll sell the house. And, you know, I mean, there's no sense in offering a concession for the lack of a bathroom. I mean, if people want a house with a two-bedroom, you know, two bathrooms, they shouldn't look at a house with one bathroom.
Right.
So I think...
That's the way I feel.
But with that said, to be really frank with you, you got to price it right then. You got to price it mm-hmm. a little bit lower, and if you want to move it, take that little bit of a hit just to get and move on to the next portion of your life. And if you're talking about moving to Florida, do it. Who wants to be in this freezing tundra?
And actually, with a birthday coming up, you're going to start a brand new cycle. You're going to have real energy pushed behind you to start something new. So that is really good timing for you.
Okay.
All right,
great.
Judy. Hope that helps.
You
got it. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
All right. Let's talk to Kathy, who's an Aries like me. Hey, Kathy. Thanks for calling the show.
Hi.
So what's your sign and your Aries and what's going on in your life?
Well, I'm kind of semi-retired, and I'm wondering, should I just retire 100%? Is finances good for me? Or is there an idea of a career? And my health. Is my health anything health-wise?
There's a lot going on in there. So what's most important right now? So you're looking at health and career?
Yes. Yes.
What's the most pressing for you right now, Kathy?
I would say always health.
Yeah. So you're in Aries, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's really interesting because last year, I don't know what was going on with your health before this past like September, October. There was a lot of focus in general in your health area for a whole year before that. And I don't know if you saw things going on with that, but that was a really great time for you to be focusing on health. There's some other things that really suggest that you can still do a bit more with your health from now through May. The North Node, which is like the point of destiny, has been in Virgo, super health conscious. That's where Jupiter was last year. That's what ratcheted up all the challenges that we had last year because people were being super critical of each other and stuff like that. But the good side of Virgo can be purity and taking great care of your health. So we still have a few more months, actually, until May. That's when this North Node is going to move into Leo. But up until then, right now, Kathy, you have this perfect opportunity because you're in Aries to do this last push on health. So is there something that you could take responsibility for and try something in the holistic realm? Because that's what Virgo really wants you to do, is something with this mind-body connection. What's going on with your thoughts? Are you using good thoughts? Are you thinking positively? Are you doing visualization, meditation? What's going on with that?
Well, I always try and be positive. Meditation, I don't do meditation.
Are you physically active?
Less than I ever was.
Yeah, that could certainly can contribute to the to what you're feeling. And just moving a little bit, I mean, it doesn't even have to be an intense workout. Doing at least 20 minutes of movement a day,
yeah,
can certainly change your body's chemistry to get your mind right.
and really change your emotions, because it will give you endorphins and all that. Plus, you know, as you're in Aries, you know, can you set up some competition with yourself so you can start outdoing yourself? That's the way to an Aries' heart is, you know, where can I win?
Yeah. Oh, Kathy, you and I share the same pains. I'm always looking to win. I got to challenge. You got to challenge yourself. If you stay stale, I mean, the whole idea of growth is movement. You know, you got to be able to challenge yourself to be able to grow and put yourself in situations where you're going to be challenged. I mean, that's the other thing. If you stay stale, it's not going to do anything for you.
Mix it up and slow down a little bit. Do meditation. You're going to have Venus in your sign for several months this year, which is not a comfortable place for Venus. Venus wants to slow down and smell the roses, and Aries wants to get going. Come on, move on. And so this spring, that's going to happen. And so you really, that would be a good time for you to look at meditation. You're going to probably feel some frustration, but mix it up, shake it up, try something different.
And in terms of, you know, I don't know, do you have a smartphone, Kathy?
I do.
Do you download apps at all?
I do.
So there's an app called Calm, C-A-L-M, Calm, and it's a free app. You could download it, and it has, you know, like these 5-minute meditations. A lot of people think, oh, meditation, oh my God, I got to sit here and be a guru and sit on a mountain. It's not the case. You know, there's also the apps you can download that have binaural frequencies that are like sound frequencies that can rest the mind without actually going into a deep meditation. I use them all the time. I use them before bed. If I can't fall asleep, I'll put on this music that has these certain tones and frequencies that can relax the mind and also trigger, you know, productivity and focus. So just look into those. I mean, it's a real simple thing. Technology is brilliant in the sense, you know, I hate it in so many ways, but I love that aspect of it.
All right.
Well, thanks for the call. Good luck.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
We're talking to Ann Nordhaus Bike. We're taking this to the end of the show, and no breaks, Ann. We got you sponsored out.
We're on a roll here.
And I want to take some of our texters that are texting, because there's some interesting ones here. Let's start with this one. Would love some help. My marriage is on the rocks. I've filed for divorce to protect my assets. We're married 21 years. Help, I'm an Aries. And the birthday is my birthday, 4/17.
Oh, my.
And I didn't write that.
Oh, my. So, give that to me again. Aries, born
April 17th. April 17th.
Yeah.
Would love some help. So my marriage is on the rocks. I filed for divorce to protect my assets. We've been married for 21 years.
Oh, my. Yeah. Oh, boy. I'm sorry to hear that. Well, there's a couple things I have to say to that. If you're in Aries, huge, huge focus on marriage this year, that Jupiter and Libra thing this year. And Jupiter in Libra is going to expand everything. So what do you want to expand in your relationship? Do you want to expand the yucky parts, or do you want to expand the good parts? So you need to focus on that. But another thing that I would say is, like we were talking about with Frank, with Uranus and Aries, you've been through nothing but change and upheaval for several, several years. One thing that I would say is, if you're thinking maybe you want to like rescue this marriage or see if it can possibly be put back on an even keel, bear in mind that in like mid-2018, Uranus is going to leave Aries, and some of that pressure is going to come off. So some of the crazy behavior that maybe you personally have been exhibiting and that your partner's having trouble with will start to ease off. So be aware of that. You're very late in the sign, so this is the time, you know, these late times when Uranus is very far into Aries is a time where you are really sort of probably being odd or unusual or not really yourself. It can help you break free, but one of the problems with that is you want to be so independent that you forget your partnership.
Yeah.
And so that would be one recommendation I would make. You might really benefit from some kind of counseling, maybe not the two of you, but maybe just yourself, to talk about what role you played in this, because you're talking about protecting my assets, but that's not partnership.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And Frank, as an Aries, you probably have some insights in this kind of thing too, in terms of relationships and how to be an Aries and still be, you know, in cooperation with others.
It's hard. I mean, it depends on what sign you're married to.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm married to another Aries, so it's like two rams who butt heads sometimes. And
you know the territory, though.
I know the territory, though, and I, you know, I think it's, you know, it's, listen, relationships are all about compromise. But when you're at that threshold of divorce, I mean, it's got to be at a really far along place where, you know, and the texture didn't say anything about kids or anything like that, so we don't know what the other, you know, ramifications or, you know, responsibilities are there.
Yeah.
But, you know, in my opinion, I think it's just a matter of you know, really being truly honest on both sides of it. You know, if you're going to blame something for something bad, blame somebody for something good too. You know, like
sit
there and really analyze, like, hey, what did I get out of this? What did I not give to this? you know,
and be really honest.
That's really what it comes down to. And then, you know, I think, you know, the defensiveness too is one thing that is a stubborn Aries.
Yes. Oh my goodness.
We could totally be defensive, and I work my entire life on trying not to be defensive, but it's inherent in our sign to be that.
You go to battle instantly.
We're Rams. Yeah. That's what we do.
Can't help it.
We put our horns down and we go for it. We go for it and we just, you know, slam it. And sometimes that's not the best attitude. Sometimes just stopping and listening and, you know, trying to work amicably at something, you know.
Yeah.
That's the best advice I can give.
And with this Jupiter and Libra situation, that actually gives them, the upside of that is increased courtesy, civility, wisdom, peace. So it's like, no, whether you split or stay together, this is a great time to actually repair the relationship so that you can work together, whether you're working out a settlement or whatever, or you're going to work towards reconciliation, whatever you do. Just trust that this is a time when you can actually like get some good things going. You want to have some good karma from this, however it ends. You don't want to end really badly where you then have to look over, you know, over your shoulder like, uh-oh, you know, they're gunning for me, going to post terrible things about me. You don't want that.
I was just talking to a therapist friend of mine the other day, and in writing my book, I'm doing a lot of research, and one of the topics came up about divorce, and she just made a comment, like she sees so many divorced families, and she said it's just the most devastating thing that can happen to people,
yeah.
You know, especially when you have young kids and family. So, I mean,
exactly.
That's why people work so hard on not, you know, getting there. And in today's society, you see it so easy. People are like, oh, we're getting divorced. You know, like,
yeah.
It's, especially if you have no kids.
And right? It's not easy.
It's not easy. It's not. I mean, it's you're unwrapping not just your financial situation, but your emotional situation, which is way more heavy.
And it's going to be frustrating for Aries this year because Venus is going to be in Aries when it goes retrograde. So it's like a double retrograde. And Aries wants to move fast, and Venus doesn't want to move fast. I want to give the dates to this person. So it's going to be in... It's going to be in Aries starting February 3rd till April 2nd.
Is this a good thing or a bad thing?
It's just a thing. And then it's going to be April 28th to June 6th. What it means is Venus is going to be there a really long time. It's going to be all this focus on relationships. So it's like this is a good time for this person to be looking at the relationship. And it's going to be retrograde March 4th to April 15th. Don't make any final decisions and don't sign any paperwork during that time. Give it
good advice.
Time.
Let's talk to Jan, who's been holding for quite a while here. Hey, Jan, you're a Gemini. Thanks for holding. Hey, Jan.
Hi, I'm here.
Hi, Jan.
So thanks for holding so long.
Thanks for calling.
Your sign is Gemini. What's going on in your life?
Well, I recently retired, and I recently also, Thanksgiving night, had a car accident.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I have to buy a new car, and I'm curious as to whether to buy a used car, a new car, and I also have to appear in court on a ticket. I'm wondering about that ticket and my health, because I was injured in the accident. It was not too bad. It was minor compared to how the accident looked. But thank goodness I was saved. Yeah. Nurse saved me, I believe. I got hit in from two directions.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Two different cars, yeah. And they were probably traveling at a pretty good high rate of speed. So I'm lucky to be alive, but I wanted to see what I should do next. I'm kind of tossed between getting a new car, a used car, and this ticket that's coming up there saying it's my fault, but don't agree because of the condition of the intersection.
Yeah, well, you're a Gemini, and so your opposite house of relationships is Sagittarius, and Sagittarius has Saturn in it right now. That's a place where... That's a shorthand way, Jan, of saying that basically you're having to step up and be mature when it comes to relationships and partnerships. Then the old astrology, ancient times, they would also call that the house of open enemies. And that's basically a person that you're competing with or having to, you know, wrestle with. And also a court situation can be that too. You're going to have people kind of testing you in this way. What this is asking you to do is you have to mind your P's and Q's, cross every T, dot every I. You need to not get down in the mouth about it, and you need to not blame people. You need to be very mature and very responsible. That makes sense?
Yes.
With all of this. And with it's like with fighting the ticket or whatever, maybe remove the idea of fighting and take it more towards you have to work through this process, be more accepting. You're a sign that was under a ton of pressure last year. We were talking about this is the relationship secrets show. Part of it is everybody in the mutable signs, that's you, Gemini, that's Virgo, that's Pisces, and that's Sagittarius, really were under the gun last year, and there was a lot of like bad conversations and criticism and stuff going on, and just unexpected tough change that the whole world has been going through. Well, you're one of those signs that really is part of change. And so this is more change for you. And part of what's really important as you move through this is to be very smart about how you do it, be very calm. And more than that, because you are a Gemini, your planet is Mercury, you need to be smart with your thoughts. Frank and I talk about this all the time in the show, you know?
Like even something this traumatic that happens to you, I mean, you got to somehow look through it and say, what are the things I can learn from this? What could I do different? What could I grow from? Because or else you can make no sense from it.
Right. And what thoughts can you hold that can create a positive outcome?
So good luck to you. Thanks for the call, Jan.
Thank you. That's excellent. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
All right. We're going to get close to wrapping this up, Anne. I just want to, on that text we got, they were talking about the divorce.
And
it seems like the woman who texted in has been kind of followed, been listening to us. The situation is two kids. Husband spent $7,000 on cheating and clubs. And he doesn't want to recommit.
Okay. Then she does need to be smart, protect some assets, but know that there will be slowdowns in the process and to really
stay sane somehow.
And find ways to, like you were talking about that app, be really calm, figure out ways, whether it's meditation, going for walks, whatever you need to do to keep yourself in a good place.
Yep. Remember this, the best fighters in boxing are the ones who keep themselves calm. An angry fighter is not a good fighter.
No.
With that note, we do have to wrap it up here. Anne, thank you so much for joining us. People want to know where they can get a hold of you. Once again, give out the website. And
absolutely.
Number.
On my website, www.annenordhousebike.com. And I also have material out there that folks who are really interested in business consulting, which they can get, as well as personal astrological information. There is a ton of material on the website. Please visit annenordhousebike.com.